welcome to another episode of the West Ham Way USA podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Brawley Darbin, in snowy, almost blizzard-like conditions here in St. Louis, Missouri. Tony Clark in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. What's going on, Tony?
Yeah, we don't have any blizzard like you did. We had that last week, but it is still really dang cold here, 30 degrees Fahrenheit for the American listeners. Yeah, very dang cold, but glad to be back after 1 week off this week. I think this is the quickest pod turnaround we've done in a while.
Yeah, for sure. I think the people here in St. Louis will laugh at you when you say 30 degrees is really cold, because this morning when I went outside, it was -3 Fahrenheit, which would be like minus, what, 17 or 18 Celsius, I think. So just it is, we haven't had a situation like this here where it's like this bitter cold plus blizzard-like conditions. Like by the end of today, we probably will have almost a foot of snow on the ground, which we haven't gotten in a long, long, long time. So the weather's been pretty crazy. Not to go on about the weather or anything, we are recording right after, literally right after the Sheffield United 3-0 win. So we're giving you a quick reaction to that. What are your thoughts right now after the game?
Yeah, I'm feeling great. I got some amazing news today. So today, I think when we recorded our last pod, I was saying that I was feeling like complete crap, but I muscled through it. That was one of the other reasons I had the bad audio. I was on my AirPods again. Finally decided to set up my mic this week. But yeah, during the last pod, I felt terrible. We took a break last week because I ended up having the COVID virus. So that sucked. Yeah. 0 out of 10, I don't recommend. But I am excited. The good news is I get to break quarantine tomorrow. It'll be my first day back out into the free world. So I'm really excited for that. And 3 points to celebrate. So I'll wear my Hammers hoodie right out into public for sure. To celebrate.
Yeah, it's good. You're getting over your 2-week quarantine. That's really good. I still no baby, so Sammy's still pregnant, still miserable, and we have a doctor's appointment tomorrow morning to go talk about getting induced. So hopefully,
the baby's got to go.
Yeah, this week we should be parents anyway. I don't think people want to hear about a pregnant woman talk right now, because
no, this isn't the pregnancy pod. This is the 3 points against Sheffield pod. So feeling pretty damn good. What was your instant reactions after the game?
I did not want to get straight into the Sheffield United game, if that's okay, because we did play a game midweek against Manchester United in the FA Cup, which I wanted to talk about because I was okay with the lineup that we put out for what we had available to us. Having put forward, I thought, a lackluster effort going forward. I think defensively we were really good.
Really organized.
But I was really, 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 really disappointed with the way David Moyes set up to play that game, especially that first half was one of the worst first halves of football I've seen in quite some time in terms of just creating nothing.
I go back and forth every single week. I'm a flip-flop fan. I'm not going to lie. I try to be as transparent as possible with my opinions, because every other week I can't decide who I'm pissy about, whether it's David Moyes or the board, because the setup against Man United for me was a board depth issue and not a David Moyes issue for me for that game. It's tough to be disappointed after going to Old Trafford and only losing 1-0 after 120 minutes, especially with the depth and at forward options that we have. I'm not really too pleased. Obviously, we don't have a striker situation. We have a striker situation where we don't have any, essentially. And, you know, I wouldn't say we have that much depth in the central midfield, because I think Lanzini's been somewhat disappointing. So although he's a body there, I don't think he's really been up to par. I don't think Yarmolenko's been up to par. So although we might think we have depth, we're not really having depth of people breaking into the side. We have depth because people are just warm bodies.
Yeah, I thought Yarmolenko was horrendous. Like, I almost never wanted to see him play again for West Ham. And that's probably harsh on him. He's just not a forward. But then again, he's also not a winger or not a midfielder now at this point either. He got injured in the game late on, which could rule him out for the rest of the season, which I feel badly about. I never want to see a guy get injured. But I thought Yarmolenko couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. I mean, he really couldn't do anything in that game. I was really... And then his effort seemed non-existent. Also, whether his knee was hurt before the game and he was nursing that the whole time, I don't know. But I was really, really, really grossed out with Yarmolenko. And that really irritated me that we didn't buy a striker and that Moyes or the board didn't want to buy a striker. Again, I don't know what to believe on that.
I don't think there is anything to believe, if I'm honest with you. Like, I don't think we're going to find out. You know, we hear back and forth the board wanted to spend and David Moyes said no, or they didn't want to buy anyone David Moyes wanted, or both. Maybe there's some truth in everything that David Moyes didn't really go out and find anything and the board didn't really want to spend anything anyway. So I don't think that there is a correct answer. I think all parties are to blame there. Let's just take the board off the table and let's say it was David Moyes who didn't want anybody, right? That's still a problem. You can't be like, oh, well, you know, we got to trust Moyes here because he didn't want a striker. Well, then he's a fucking idiot for not wanting a striker. Or the board is wrong for not buying anybody. I think all around somebody dropped the ball here, because let alone one game into past the January deadline, Antonio is injured.
Yeah. I mean, you can see the writing was on the wall. I think I said in the last podcast, or I said to someone, I don't remember, that I would bet my house that Mikel Antonio is injured before the end of the season, and we're not even two games past the end of the window, and he's already injured.
And I love Mikel, and it's not a slight on him. It's not like he's asking to get injured, and I feel that it's different. I don't know. I don't want to slander Andy Carroll, but I feel like during his tenure here, it really honestly felt like, and this is an opinion, it felt like he didn't attempt to keep himself healthy. Same with Jack Wilshere. Like that's how from a perception point of view, that's how it felt watching those guys and how they conducted themselves at the club. I don't have any proof of any malice. I just, it's a perception thing. For me, Antonio seems like he wants to be out there. You know what I mean? So yeah. I feel like it's a completely different vibe from him than the other two.
No, I agree with that. But to move on from the first half, I thought the second half was much better. Mm-hmm. I was really, really, really confused by bringing on Fredericks and Ben Johnson. But looking back on it, it did make sense that to give us a little more speed. Because I said this, and one thing I did want to mention that I forgot before this game, I thought the lineup that we had against Manchester United was the slowest possible lineup that West Ham United could have put out. I mean, literally, it could not have gotten any slower. Maybe Balbuena coming on instead of Ogbonna, maybe then that would have slowed it down even more. But I mean, talk about a snail's pace team out there. Was just ugh, I hated it. So
you
I guess
want Craig Dawson bombing up the middle of the pitch.
I just wanted some speed, like Benrahma. Why wasn't Benrahma playing? I didn't understand that. And why? But then get to halftime, those changes of Fredericks and Ben Johnson. And at first glance, I'm thinking, why are we bringing on two defenders when we just didn't produce a single shot in the entire first half? But then after the game, look back on it, thinking the injection of pace, and we really did play a lot better. But anyway, we end up losing the game. We crash out of the FA Cup. Really disappointed by that. I thought Moyes gave it a partial go. I think he also had his eye on the league, but I can't blame him outright for us going out. I think Manchester United are a really good team also. So maybe we did do well to take it to 120 minutes. The goal was unfortunate. Declan Rice gave the ball away, and then a scrappy goal through traffic, and that's all she wrote. Do you have anything else you wanted to add to the cup exit?
Yeah, you know, I want to point out that I think that this cup, this Man United team is different than the Man United team that we played earlier in the season that looked like dog doo-doo. I mean, the Man United team that we played earlier in their season, and honestly, I think that we beat. I think we would have won that game if the ball didn't go out of bounds, you know. We were in complete control of that game. They scored, and then it just went all downhill from there. But other than that, I mean, I think that was when Manchester United was in their rut. Now you're talking about a Manchester United team that is second in the league, you know, or third, because of Leicester winning this weekend or whatever. I mean, this is a completely different Manchester United team that we played at Old Trafford to 120 minutes. So I think it was a solid performance when it comes to the result at the end of the day. It sucks to be out of the FA Cup. I was really hoping for a run there, but it happens. And at the end of the day, you're not going to win them all, and that's a shitty place to try and go get a result.
Yeah, for sure. Now we can move forward, I guess, and go ahead. Before we get to the game, we found out, so Ogbonna did injure himself in that game. Looks like it was an ankle injury, and they're not sure about the ligaments in his ankle. I believe X is saying that he'll be out for at least a month, which is a big, big blow for us. Luckily, we do have a little bit of depth at center back with Balbuena and Diop there behind him. So that's good that we have some extra cover there, especially Diop. I think for some reason he's gotten lost under Moyes, and really under Pellegrini he was looking like a world beater. So I'm glad that he's finally getting some time.
Yeah, and he looked good today. But before we get into today, one more thing I wanted to point out about the FA Cup is Man United ended up drawing Leicester. So that ain't no easy draw to if we would have won anyway. So, I mean, again, if we would have beat Man United, I don't see why we couldn't have beat Leicester. But I do want to say, like, point out there, again, it would have been another crappy draw after. So
I don't know also if in this round, if it's the same teams would have drawn the same opponents. Like, I think, don't they reseed you based on alphabet after this round too, if I'm not mistaken? I could be wrong on that, and I could be completely wrong. So therefore, we wouldn't have been the same ball that Manchester United was. We'd be in the W's, which would have been a lower number ball than the M's of Manchester United.
If you want to go by that theory, sure.
Well, I don't know if that's right. Because when they drew the two rounds previously, so we drew Stockport and then Liverpool, Manchester United, the winner of that game. That, in that theory, that would have been the same ball. I don't know if they redid that this round. Anyway, it was just I didn't know if you knew that or not. So
no, I would assuming it'd be a brand new ball and number. I was just casually throwing out there that United drew Leicester, assuming that's what would have happened for us.
What I was saying. The cover, so Ogbonna going down hurts, but I think if we get the old Issa Diop of two seasons ago or last season even, we're going to be just fine. And then obviously I think we already said it, but Yarmolenko potentially tore his ACL or injured some of his ligaments in his knees, which isn't good, and we're hoping for a speedy recovery by him. And if I'm not mistaken, didn't we have one more injury that I'm losing off the top of my head? I could be wrong on that.
Antonio not playing.
Yeah, maybe that's what I was thinking of. Antonio still either fatigued and then apparently felt his hamstring in training earlier this week. So who knows? But
those are the three key. So Bob, sure. Wina.
Yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
We can move on to the game we just watched, which is Sheffield United. The lineup. What were your reactions when X released the lineup?
Yeah, you know, Moyes made me look like a douchebag, if I'm honest with you, because I was definitely saw that lineup today and was like, good God. I looked at it, and one of the things that I criticized, not to his fault, Ben Johnson, I don't think that he is as good as going forward as Masuaku is. So I think when we go five in the back, I feel like we are sacrificing an attacking forward player to add in that fifth defender. I know that their wing backs can have a little more free reign to go forward than traditional outside backs because they have that extra cover. But in that case, I'd like to see Masuaku. Obviously, we know Masuaku's injured, and that's why I liked when we've been playing four at the back recently. So going back to five at the back at home against Sheffield, I wouldn't say I was pleased. On top of not seeing Benrahma in, I just thought it was a very jumbled lineup. But the man's got to work with what he's got, and we ended up pulling out a result. So, egg on my face.
Yeah, well, I actually disagree with you about Ben Johnson. I think, now, I shouldn't say I don't disagree with you in the fact that he's not as good as Masuaku going forward. I do agree with that. But I think Ben Johnson is now putting in good shift after good shift after good shift. I don't think he's actually played a bad game. I can't think of one mistake that he's actually made. And then he actually looks like a baller going forward right now. I am so impressed with Ben Johnson. And one thing, we didn't mention him in the Man United game. I thought he, well, I mentioned him coming on, but the impact he had was astronomical. I thought he was fantastic. I think he looks like a baller. I'm really, really excited about Ben Johnson.
I'd like to clarify, I don't think he's a bad player, and nor are you telling me that I said that, but I comparative to what he brings to the table versus having an actual another attacking player on the field against Sheffield, that's what I would like to see. Like, if you switched out a way to get Ben Rama on the field or Fornals or an actual attacking player instead of that fifth defender. So that's where I was kind of going with that. If I want to see that fifth defender, I would like to see a Masuaku. But give Ben Johnson his credit. He played well, and I think he's been fine. I would just like to see an actual attacking player. That's just me.
Yeah, I was okay with five at the back. I really was okay with that. The one thing that I despised and hated was Lanzini playing over Saeed Benrahma. Like, why? Especially when Lanzini played, well, when did we play Man United? Tuesday? Wednesday? He played the full, he played a lot of minutes on Tuesday. Benrahma only came on for the last part of the game. Granted, he did have to play extra time. But what does Lanzini bring that Benrahma doesn't? I'm so confused by that. That was my biggest thing. And again, everyone knows by now, if you listen to this show at all, I am a Saeed Benrahma fanatic. I love him. I think he's fantastic.
Benrahma stan account.
But I think most West Ham fans will tell you that Lanzini doesn't offer hardly anything anymore. Like, he's okay going forward. He's got a little bit of pace, but he gave the ball away, and we haven't gotten into the game yet, but he gave the ball away 3, 4, 5, 6 times today that I thought was just unnecessary. He just looked out of place. Some people thought he had a good game, and maybe I'm just blinded by the fact that I wanted to see Benrahma start over him. That's possible, but I just don't understand that one. The Ben Johnson in the lineup, I'm fine with, but Lanzini instead of Benrahma just doesn't sit right with me.
I thought Lanzini was fine. I there was a few giveaways where I was like, God damn, but he also had some nice passes, as in like the one where he pinged across the field to Lingard there on one of the breakaways, which I thought was a very important pass. But I mean, Lingard was wide open, so it's not like it was some incredibly threaded ball. I would like to see Benrahma over Lanzini. I'm kind of off the Lanzini train. I love him as like a cult hero. Just from those last few seasons, from the season at Upton Park with Payet, and thinking that he had an incredible upside until his injury. But yeah, I mean, I think we spent all this money on Benrahma. I'd like to see what he can do, especially I thought his link-up play a few games ago with Lingard was incredible.
Yeah, it was against Villa. It was terrific.
Yeah, that 1-2 punch. So I'm not sure what Lanzini brought to the table today that Benrahma doesn't. I think Benrahma's better at his feet. I think Lanzini might be a slightly better passer, but then he didn't show that today.
I literally think Saeed Benrahma is a better version of Manuel Lanzini. Like, literally better. They're almost the same player, but Benrahma's just better in almost every facet of the game than Lanzini.
Yeah, so I'm not really sure, if I'm being honest with you, that didn't really make sense. But, you know, again, we'll get into the actual game, but here you and I are complaining about the lineup after a 3-0 win. So
true. But it really is. One thing that I tweeted out, or maybe I didn't tweet it. I think I might have deleted it because I thought it was a dumb tweet. But I tweeted that I am trying really, 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 really hard not to question David Moyes at this point.
And you said I really, that in the group chat.
I'm just really trying not to question what he does, because everything he's touched turns to gold. Like, it seems like he's not putting a foot wrong, and I'm really trying to just let go of my hatred of most of what he does. Like, bringing on Mark Noble again today. Now, we were up 2-0 at the time when Noble comes onto the pitch, So I guess I can see that up by two, but if we would have been up by one, I would have been really disgusted. But like, why bring Mark Noble on again instead of Benrahma? I don't know. And we're getting ahead of myself and going later in the game.
Can I be a fickle fan for a moment? Yeah. Just for a moment. You know, we're really excited about these 3 points, and I'm so pleased and thankful and excited. I tweeted out the Champions League song. Obviously, Chelsea, if I turn around behind me, sorry, my head was not on the mic. If I turn around, it's 2-0 Chelsea right now.
Damn.
So that puts us back into fifth. But what I was trying to say along the lines was, as excited I am about that, we really do have to keep in mind that we just beat Sheffield, who only have 3 wins this season and 15 goals in like 25 games. So like, they're averaging less than a goal a game. So we do need to be a little bit careful here. As excited as we are, as ecstatic as I am, and I want to think crazy, but when we're criticizing that lineup, I guess to me, does that lineup win against Spurs next?
Yeah, who knows, really? I mean,
I don't know. Like, I don't know. It could. I'm just saying, like, as much as I'm complaining about this lineup and say we don't really know what we're talking about, we won 3-0, we literally beat the last place team in the league. So yeah, we do need to keep that in mind.
For sure. I think that's true. I also think we have a little bit of a right to be excited and like just like we're like sarcastic. Like when people realize, and I think most people do, that when you tweet out the Champions League song after we
it's
just
a bit
beat,
of satire.
It's sarcastic, obviously. I don't think any West Ham fan actually thinks like would actually bet a large amount of money that West Ham United are going to finish in a Champions League place this year. But it's nice to dream a little, and it's nice to have fun with it, and it's nice to not be like suicidal about West Ham, because last season me and you wanted to go jump off a bridge because it was so miserable to watch West Ham. Like, imagine last year before lockdown, when David Moyes first comes in back into the team, when we all were really well upset about David Moyes coming back, if someone had told you that 24 games into the season, Jesse Lingard would be bawling out for West Ham and we would overtake Liverpool to jump into a Champions League place, like, imagine how crazy. I would have looked at you like you were absolutely
cracked out,
idiotic. Yeah, I mean, just that blows my mind. Like, and Jesse Lingard, I mentioned him again today. Fantastic, probably my man of the match. Maybe Fabianski edges it. I thought Lingard was absolutely superb, confident, wants the ball, takes men on, fearless. I mean, all of the qualities that I want in a West Ham player, Jesse Lingard is providing. I mean, just a baller. And maybe at Manchester United it wasn't going to work out. It's hard for me to see why, because he absolutely injects a lot of energy and just quality, really, on the ball.
Yeah,
and I think it's terrific.
Provides something different. Yeah, and I again, this is another egg on my face moment, because I questioned the Jesse Lingard signing. And it goes back to, like, not to discredit myself, people are listening. Well, listen, if you're still listening to our podcast after all this time, you could be okay with my shit opinions. But I thought it was going to be a terrible idea. And here we are, that he's been man of the match and a key player in this after January run already. So, egg on my,
it makes me, well, no, I think I explained this last podcast, but I wasn't ecstatic about Jesse Lingard coming to West Ham. In fact, it didn't make sense to me, because I thought he was going to be basically taking Benrahma's spot, and he's been playing well, and that was the position we had the most depth at, so it really didn't make any sense at all. But you saw today, I don't think we played quite a false nine. I think Bowen was pretty much the striker, which actually I thought Jared Bowen had a really good game too, was solid.
Yep.
A couple mistakes here and there, but Lingard also could have squeezed a couple crosses over to Bowen for tap-ins, potentially. I thought Bowen had a really good game. It's just all coming together right now, and it brings me back to what the original point of me talking about this is I just have to trust David Moyes and just let my qualms go about whatever it is that he's doing. I just need to trust it and let it be.
It's one of those weird things because you're sitting in your basement and I'm laying in bed right now. You know, you and I aren't at training. And no, I'm not saying you have to be at training to have an opinion.
Well, you kind of do, actually.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm just saying
we don't see players perform on a daily basis in training. So, I mean, Benrahma could have been terrible all week and Lanzini could have been terrific, and maybe that's why he got the start. I don't know. But from the outside looking in, we know, me and you know what Lanzini's providing these past few years. Yes, he scored one screamer away at Tottenham, which will go down in West Ham folklore. It's just a shame no one was there because I think it would be even more into that folklore. But other than that, he's done nothing for 3 or 4 years. I mean, poor guy tore his ACL at the World Cup before even getting to play a game, and he hasn't really been the same player since. And I feel bad for him in that way. But just I just don't think he offers enough to be started. Okay, to move on to the first real important moment of the game, we finally got a penalty, or so we thought. This is going to send me on another tangent. I apologize.
Oh, God, here we go, folks.
But this is what sucks about not having fans in stadiums, because no one really knew what happened. And without fans reacting to what's happening at the game, like, I almost was like, wait, is that a penalty? And the commentators were like, wait, did he actually give a penalty? When Craig Dawson just kind of shoved over, kind of the guy went down on his legs. But I was very confused. And when it wasn't like one of those moments where you're screaming, penalty, penalty, penalty. Like, if that wasn't given, I would have totally been fine with it. But we thought we got our first penalty of the game. And then lo and behold, Dawson was actually offside by a shoulder blade. And it wasn't to be. And we thought our streak went on without getting a penalty. The one thing that I took from it is that Declan Rice is our penalty taker, because we didn't know that going into this game. I didn't know that.
I think at the end of the day, on that scenario, they got it right. I think the penalty call was correct from the get-go, and I think Dawson was offside after looking at it. But real time, I mean,
so there was a case to be made that not a lot of people were talking about. So I take it, were you watching on NBCSN?
I was watching on the NBC Sports, yeah.
Okay, so I was watching the feed from BT, and about 5 minutes after the changing of the penalty decision, they showed an angle where they were discussing the fact that the VAR officials may have paused the feed, paused the camera at the incorrect time. So it was actually just after or just before, I don't know which, and they didn't dwell on it very long, but they showed that it wasn't the exact moment Declan Rice made contact with the ball. Like, they were, when they had that camera stopped and they put the lines up, it was actually the incorrect moment. And they showed the correct moment, or what appeared to be that he might not have been offside. Luckily, we went on to score shortly after and no one really was questioning it, but there still is a case to be made that they may have even gotten that wrong, but I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm just throwing that out there, that if you're watching the feed on BT, you may have seen that the VAR officials might have gotten it wrong. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't notice that. Now that you say that, I might go back and look. I mean, we won 3-0, no harm, no foul, but it's still a pain in the ass.
For sure.
VAR. Then we ended up going ahead and got our own penalty again. So that was nice.
It was the first goal. It was a little what's the word? I'm struggling to find the word, but seeing
I'm struggling to figure out the word you're thinking of.
Seeing Lingard and Rice kind of have a mini battle at who taking it was a little I almost want to say disheartening, but that's not the right word.
Unsettling?
Maybe unsettling is what I'm trying to think of. But Declan Rice dispatches it, puts it away, no problem. Lingard is the first man to go over there and celebrate with him. So all is good in the world. It's just nice to see West Ham score a penalty or actually even get a penalty. And now we know that Declan Rice is the penalty taker, which is good info.
Yeah, when they started going getting a little snippy with each other, I was like, all right, first of all, Lingard, you're on loan here, and you're talking like, I think we went over this last podcast that like the captaincy isn't as important as like fans think it is. But at the end of the day, Declan Rice is the decision maker there, and the man's got the armband on. So
yeah, like, I mean, you can understand why. Like, Lingard won that penalty, and he thought he would have scored, and so he wanted to take the penalty. I get it. Again, I appreciate.
At least he wants to take it. Like, I got guys wanting to
appreciate step. The fact that he wants the ball. I want to score. I'm not scared of this moment. I really do appreciate that. But at the end of the day, if Rice is your penalty taker, you shouldn't be arguing with it. So, but and then on top of that, I was discussing on Twitter with a couple of people the fact that everyone was clamoring that there should be a red card and Egan or whoever it was should have been sent off. Well, with this new rule with the double jeopardy, if the defender is making any attempt on the ball, which people thought he wasn't, he was. When you can see from an angle, he comes in and clearly kicks the ball and just misses, and he kind of kicks out again after he's down and misses twice. Clear penalty, but under last year or the year before, whenever this law came into effect, that would have been a red card, and he would have been sent off, and then again, it would have been double jeopardy because you would have had a man sent off plus a penalty, which I kind of like the fact that if you get a penalty, you're not getting the double jeopardy, so to speak, and you get an extra man sent off, and that really ruins the game. So I'm okay with it. I did not think it was a red card, and I thought there was clear evidence to show that the officials actually got that one right because he made an attempt on the ball.
You know, it's funny. We talk about rules that we hate and the handball rule and VAR's bullshit, but at the end of the day, I think this is a very good rule. I think he did make a genuine attempt on the ball. I think he just did it really poorly. And I think that did not deserve a red card. That was one of those, even vice versa, if that was a West Ham player and we gave up the penalty and he was sent off for that, I'd be like, come on, man. If that's a red card, then Jesus Christ. So, no, I think it was a fair decision. Definitely a penalty, and a yellow card was warranted. It was a yellow card foul right in the middle of the box. So yeah. I thought the official was pretty good today. Nothing I thought was horrendous. I thought he controlled the game well. I don't think the players got out of hand. I think that the VAR made the correct call, other than the whole like maybe stopping at the wrong time, but that's not on him. So I thought it was a well-officiated game, and I think that after what we saw with the Thomas Suchek rescinded red card we didn't really talk about at all from 3 games ago because we didn't pod after that. We think we podded right after the game saying that it was terrible, but we didn't pod since it was rescinded. That game was officiated terrible, and we talked about that. But I guess when it's officiated well, you don't talk about it. So I just wanted to give a quick shout out. I thought today was well done.
Yeah, I agree. It is good. I do think officials deserve praise when they do ref a good game. So I totally agree with that. Moving ahead to the second goal, Issa Diop from a corner. Really good to see.
Bang, bang.
Or was it a corner? I think it was.
Yep, it was off the corner.
Just good to see him get on the score sheet. And again, like I was saying earlier, I'm glad he's back playing games. It just sucks Dawson's been playing so well, Ogbonna's been playing so well, and then even Balbuena ahead of him was playing well. It was sad to see him not get any minutes at all, and I'm really pleased for him that he's taken this opportunity and played really, really well today, and good to see him cap it off with a goal.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a nice, powerful, but gliding header at the same time. He just redirected a whipped-in corner just right into the bottom side across the keeper, and it was perfect. I got nothing else to say other than terrible marking. I mean, I think Dawson was open right in front of him as well. I think we had 3 guys crashing in there that all could have got their head on it, and coincidentally it was Issa Diop, and he put it up 2-0. So I thought it was a well-worked set piece. I think we need to be careful with this lineup. I don't want to be negative Nancy, but you know, we did say we won 3-0 and we really shouldn't question, but we also need to keep in mind that 2 of our 3 goals did not come from the run of play. So But they were also, I thought we created a lot of chances too from the run of play. So I guess
we did. I thought the performance was good. I think you're being a little negative, Nancy, just a little bit. I think
I'm flip flopping my two opinions because I feel firmly about both though. I think that we didn't create goals from open play other than Fredericks at the end, but also I thought we did create a lot of other chances. So it's a catch 22.
Yeah, like Suchek should have scored clean through on goal, and he could have slid it across. I thought he made the right decision. Fouls. Yeah. Oh yeah, sorry, did I say Suchek? I meant Sofal. And I thought Bowen and Lingard linked up brilliantly twice for a couple 2-on-1s, 2-on-2s. Their keeper made a couple of decent saves. I thought there were plenty of chances for us to score. It sucks that we didn't, although Fredericks did at the end of the game score off of Benrahma was terrific when he came on. I mean, he took on four guys right then and then slid it across, and Fredericks could have shot it. Fredericks had about 30 seconds to shoot. He like went in, stopped, stood there for a second. The guys didn't really close him down, and then Fredericks slots in the ball in the left-hand corner, and then we go on to win 3-0. Just an overall – go ahead.
It was a very smart finish.
Yeah, for sure.
Patient, and then he was like, yo, I'm not going to score a banger here. I'm going to just powerful bottom left corner of the net, near post from where he was running. I thought it was a very, very clever finish, and good on him.
Who would you say was your man of the match?
Oof, goodness me. I mean, I would almost want to say Declan. The way that he stepped up for that penalty, the way that he commanded the team, the midfield was very organized. There's a few times, and I think there's an underrated piece of Declan Rice's game that we don't talk about enough, is the sometimes when he gets the ball and he just makes this darting run down the middle of the field.
Like a gazelle.
Almost like maybe 30, 40 yards, like from the center circle almost to the 18, where you think, oh, is he going to pass it yet? Nope. Is he going to pass it? Nope. Is he going to pass it? And he just takes it right down the field. So I think I liked a lot of what I saw from Declan Rice today. So I would either have to say him or also on the score sheet, and not because he scored, but because I thought he had a great comeback game, Issa Diop. I think those are two of my man of the matches for different reasons.
So FotMob gave it to Fabianski. They rated him an 8.2. I think I said earlier that mine was between Lingard and Fabianski. I'll probably just shade Fabianski because I did think he was terrific. But I think honorable mention goes to Jesse Lingard for the way he performed. And then Issa Diop also, I think that's a good shout. I think he deserves some honorable mention today. And just for the fact of not playing for a while besides the cup game. But he did get concussed. And he was the first player to ever be substituted as a concussion protocol player as a free sub. So, which also, I don't know if you and I, did you watch the FA Cup game in its entirety? Folks, I'm sorry to go back and forth. I'm really sorry. But I'm just genuinely curious. Did you watch the whole game?
The FA Cup? Yeah, I did watch.
No one mentioned.
During quarantine on COVID, I didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, no one mentioned the fact that was being used as a concussion sub. I only saw it on Twitter. Did you find it the same way?
I have no idea. I think that they said something on the ESPN Plus feed about it being the first ever concussion sub.
See, but I might have missed that. I thought there was like not enough being made about that because I honestly did not gather that he was even a concussion substitute. I didn't even realize he wasn't on the field until about 10 minutes after. It was just wild because when they came out of halftime was when, because he played on for a little bit, and then they brought him off at the end of halftime. Anyway, that wraps up the Sheffield United game, unless you have anything more you want to say about the game.
No, I thought it was a fantastic performance. You know, like I said, flip-flop tone. I want to be negative and say I didn't really care for the lineup, and we played against a terrible Sheffield team. But at the same time, I want to be positive and say, we did a very – and Moyes said this phrase exactly in his post-conference press conference. He said that it was a very professional performance, and it was. There's so many games this year and previous West Ham teams that this was a game that we would bottle. I even texted our buddy Andy before the game. I was like, oh, I hope we don't bottle it today. I thought the Fulham game last week, I think we should have gotten a result against a bottom team, and we – held 0-0. Today was a professional performance. We got the job done, especially with the lineup I didn't care for and a 3-0 result. So I'm a happy man. I'm a happy hammer, and I thought we played well. So
I totally agree. I think that's a good point that this is a game that in previous years we would have at least dropped 2 points from. And I think this year Moyes and the team deserves a lot of credit for putting their heads down and grinding out a result. And even I know today we didn't really grind it out. It was rather comfortable. But it's good to see us beating teams that we should be beating, and that's all I'll say about that. We did get some questions from our followers on Twitter, and do you have them pulled up in front of you there? If you want to,
I'm pulling them up right now. Go on if you want to get started.
Sure. Okay. The first one here is from Neil Fitzgerald. That's at Neil Fitz UK. He says, "Did you worry like me when Nobes came on instead of Benrahma, and that it was too negative? I mean," and he said in parentheses, "it did work. We won 3-0. But the question still should be asked: did you worry when Mark Noble came on in the whatever minute that was, 60th or 70th minute?"
No, I was fine with it. I thought it was negative, but I believe at that time it was 2-0. I didn't think that Sheffield was really pressing. I didn't really feel the need to stomp on the throat. I think we have that problem a lot of times when we're going – how do I put this? I apologize. Some of the times we let up too much and teams just come back and rip us to shreds. I think this was one of the times where I was fine with Noble coming on 2-0. Nothing was really going on in the game, and we just need to hold the ball and see it out. So I think this is one of those scenarios where I think it worked out, and I think it was a good sub. A few weeks ago when Noble came on when we were losing, I thought that was a bad Noble decision, where it was like, what is he going to really bring going forward? I'm not one of those people who say Noble passes backwards all the time. But he also is not a very positive player, and he's slow. He's old, and he will be the first one to tell you that. But I thought today was a perfect scenario for him. Let's see this game out and control the game. So I thought it was a good sub.
Yeah, I did not like it, really, if I'm honest. When I saw him warming up and I saw him coming on again, I thought it should have been Benrahma. I understood it. If it was 1-0, I would have been disgusted. Like, I would have been like, Moyes, what the hell are you doing? I would have been throwing a temper tantrum on Twitter. 2-0, I understand it. And I think he does bring a little bit going forward more than people give him credit for, because he does like to get up into the attack. He just, again, he's not quick enough really to do so. But I was not worried. I did not think when Mark Noble's coming on, it was like, oh, now we're going to go and lose the game, if that's what he's asking. So, no, I was not worried when Noble came on, although I did not love the substitution.
It's not really a question, but it is a comment from Ben, and that's Ben Willard 24, or BL Willard 24. No striker, no problem. Sunglasses emoji.
No kidding, yeah.
Let me put it like this. I'm going to rephrase his comment into a question. Do you see this being an issue for the rest of the season, or do you think that we might be okay?
I don't know anymore, man. It's so hard to say. Like, yeah, I still think it's wrong. I still think it's not the right decision to bring in a striker, but maybe we do have the ability to, I don't know, cope with it and get through these games that Antonio's not involved in. X says that Antonio should be good to go for Tottenham, which is good because he's the perfect player for those kind of games, I think. And do you change a winning team? Also, do you have to bring Antonio in off the back of this? That's another debate that could be had, you know? I think Lingard and Bowen up there provided some really quality play, and I really liked that. Again, I would just start Benrahma instead of Lanzini if we're going to do the same thing. For me, am I bringing in Antonio instead of, I'd probably bring off Lanzini and then bring Antonio in. I don't know. It depends on all depends on Antonio's fitness. I would like to see him out there, but at the same time, if you don't want to risk him, I understand it. At least have him on the bench.
Yeah. Do you want to read the next one off?
Next one is from Ian Tricheri at iTricheri. And he says, "Evening, chaps. It's great being a West Ham fan at the moment. With Lingard playing so well, do you fear that we won't be able to keep him at the end of the season?" Which is a really good question, I think. And I think West Ham did miss a trick by not getting a option to buy at the end of his loan. I think that was a mistake. But maybe Manchester United didn't want it. But anyway, here, the question goes to you.
I think that there's two ways to look at this here. I do remember them saying on the broadcast, not that it means it's fact, that if he performs well, he should stay with West Ham. They said on the NBCSN podcast, on the NBCSN broadcast, that he should be trying to get a contract and transfer to West Ham with a good performance. I forget who said it, but that they don't believe that he's really going to be in the Man United side, even if he plays well. So all he can do is perform well and get a bigger contract by being a very solid player at West Ham. So I don't really think that we missed the mark exactly. I think that I did read of a few weeks ago when it first happened that he has no intentions in staying, which I thought would be a really weird way to even start off your loan. So I'm not really sure how true that is. So I guess where I'm going with this answer to the question is, I don't think West Ham will have an issue signing him if he wants to stay and he performs well. I really don't think so. The only other issue they may have is if another team comes in who is
Everton
bigger than West Ham.
Everton, which, someone like that is what I was thinking.
Yeah, and frankly, I don't think that they will. Like, I don't see that. Like, I think performing well at West Ham will be his best chance right now. I don't see going to Everton being a good move for them. Like, yeah. I don't get
what I had in my head.
The way that we're playing.
What I had in my head. Sorry to interrupt.
No, please.
Was if a team like Leicester or Everton came in and said, "Hey, we'll guarantee you first team football. You did really well at West Ham. Would you want to come to us?" And I can see that happening, but I think you're right. If he wants to be here, there's no reason why he shouldn't end up a West Ham player. But if a team like that comes calling, because I don't think he'll be able to go to a Chelsea or a Man City or a Liverpool or anyone like that. If he's not getting in at Man United, he's not getting in at those other teams. But those other two clubs like Leicester and Everton, I think, could be a real competition. If they want to be, they might have no interest at all. That would be my only concern. Like I said, I just wish we could have had a loan to buy at the end of the loan, because I think as of right now, I'd activate it and say, yeah, from what I've seen, sign him up.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've seen so far, I'd like to see him over a run of games just to see if there's going to be some consistency or if he's just hot right now. But I mean, I would like him to stay after what I've seen so far. I hope that we do either put in a transfer or whatever needs to happen there for him to stay. I think he's been a very valuable asset to our success in the four games that he's played.
And let's not forget that there's a Euros coming up this summer in 2021, hopefully. I really hope there is. And Lingard has been playing in front of Southgate. Southgate's been at the last two of our games, so, I mean, who knows?
Trying to play his way
in. He was a key person. I wouldn't say key. He was a good squad player in the run up to the World Cup semifinal. I mean, I think he scored against Panama also. So I just don't want it to be forgotten that he is playing for a lot this loan. He really is playing for a lot. The last question here is from AG Harris, and that's the Real Harris IV. And he says, into the top four with the match we had to win and won. The boys keep playing great. Europe is not a pipe dream anymore. We can and will be in Europe next year, which is a bold statement. What do you think about that?
Listen. I will answer that question after the stretch of games that we have coming up. So if I pull up our fixture list here, click on West Ham. So our next few matches are Spurs at home, at City, home against Leeds, at United, home against Arsenal, at Wolves, home against Leicester. So
that's
tough. Takes us to April. This stretch right here that we're going to get into is going to be the truth. This is going to be the answer of where we're at. and if this is a real or if this is a pipe dream. But I do want to remind everybody, this stretch of games right here is exactly at the same stretch, maybe not the same, but the same concept
close.
Of what I said at the beginning of the season. When you and X and Dave all called me crazy, I said, if we can get through this crazy stretch, we have a chance to finish in the top half. I didn't say Europa League or AG, my man, says Europe's guaranteed. I don't know about that because this stretch is going to be hell. But if we can nick some results in there, I think we have a chance to make Europe. I think we definitely have a chance to finish top half.
We don't finish top half, I think that would be a huge, I don't want to say failure, a huge disappointment if at this point we don't finish top half.
I mean, if I'm being completely honest with you, though, our next game's against Spurs, who are hit or miss. You never know what Spurs team's going to show up. You're either going to get the 3-0.
We're in way better form than they are, but derby games, form tends to go out the window.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you're either going to get the Spurs that put us 3-0 down, or you're going to get the Spurs that let us come back 3-3. You have no idea what Spurs team is going to show up. I mean, if I look at their recent matches, you know, they lost to City, Everton FA Cup, beat West Brom, lost to Chelsea, lost to Brighton, lost to Liverpool. So, I mean, they're in a terrible run of form, but frankly, they could easily turn up and smoke us 3-0, and not even bat an eye, if I'm being completely honest with you, even in our great run in their terrible form. So, who knows?
Yeah, like I said, derby games, form tends to go out the window anyway. One thing I did want to say is, looking at the fixtures here, we only have one midweek game pending Sky BT Sport TV changes. We have one midweek game for the rest of the season, and that's Tuesday, May the 11th against Brighton. The rest of the games are all Saturday and Sunday, which is pretty wild. And so we're not playing every 3-4 days. We're playing once a week, which is a big – I think that's huge for us. I think it's absolutely crucial to the end of our season is we're going to be rested, which is good. But anyway, to comment off of what AG Harris was saying, am I ballsy enough to say that we will finish in Europe? No, I'm not there yet. I'm excited. I am over the moon. I would love for West Ham to finish in a Europa League or a Champions League place. Do I think it's going to happen? Champions League? No, I do not think it'll happen. I would love it. Europa is a real possibility, but that being said, you're going to have to stay above Tottenham, and you're going to have to stay above Arsenal, and hopefully keep Everton and Villa down below you, too, because there's only going to be two spots, depending on the FA Cup. So I think it would be great, and I saw a funny tweet saying that Astra Gugu are in 13th in their league, and they will not be making a Europa appearance this season, thank God. So that's one boogeyman we don't have to worry about if we qualify for Europe.
I mean, if I can be completely honest with you on your response, I mean, here's the thing. It's not a guarantee that both of these teams win two games in hand, but, you know, Everton's sitting on 35 points down from us, but they have two games in hand.
Yeah.
Villa has two games in hand on us, and they're on 36.
Yeah.
So, in theory, both of those teams could catch up if they win both those games in hand, and that puts us at seventh.
Yeah. So that was my point.
So, I mean, which is still actually Europe, depending on whatever happens in the FA Cup.
Correct.
So, I think it's a very bold prediction, but you are absolutely 100% correct in the eyes that you would have to then still keep Everton, Villa, Tottenham, and Arsenal behind us, which I think we can do.
Possible.
It all depends on what West Ham team shows up on this fixtures. I mean, playing Spurs next at home, I mean, I think we can beat them. I think it's a winnable game. But I also think that we could easily get smashed up 3-0 as well.
Yeah.
So it all depends on who shows up. But if I'm being honest with you, a West Ham win, and I'm not being funny here, but let's say we somehow beat Spurs, and Leicester or Man United lose in their next game or two. Man United has Newcastle in the league, and Leicester has Villa. If one of those teams lose and we beat Spurs, we're 1 point off of them. So you just never know what's going to happen. You don't.
Tony's saying we're making a push for the title. He's putting it on record. We're going for Man City. We're going for the title.
Listen, that is not what I said, but I am pointing out that the podcast could be completely different the following week when if we lose to Spurs and a few other results don't go our way, we could be talking about how we're down in seventh. And honestly, I think that what concerns me the most, I know I'm rambling a little bit here, but I just want to finish up on what concerns me a little bit is this success now. People might be getting their expectations a little bit too far, where let's say we don't do this run well at all, and we slip down into like seventh or eighth, right? And next thing you know, everybody's thinking that we're terrible and blah blah blah. But at the end of the day, I mean, eighth place is much higher than we expected. I said top half, but everyone thought we were getting relegated this season. So if we go through this tough stretch and we lose a bunch of games and we slip down to eighth or ninth, we're still in a really successful run for the season, and we have a somewhat lighter end that if we finish strong could again scoop back up.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that'll just about do it this week. I think it's been a good episode, and it's nice to reflect on a win, I will say. Again, we hope to get back to a regular schedule, but again, I still haven't had a kid yet, so let's see how that goes. That should be this week for sure, because like I said, we're going to talk about having the baby this week. So my life's about to get crazy is what I'm trying to say.
Yep. Good luck, my friend. Do you want to take us out on the part I always mess up?
Yep. So you can follow us on Twitter at West Ham Way US Pod. You can follow me on Twitter at Brawly Darbin. You can follow Tony on Twitter at Tony Clark Dupe. And if you guys would all please, please, please go and leave us a 5-star rating and write a nice review for us on iTunes, that would greatly be appreciated, and it helps us reach more listeners. But signing off this week after 3 points, we'll hopefully come back to you next week after another 3 points against Tottenham at a big London derby, so that'll be fun. So, but it's a 6 a.m. kickoff, which I'm not looking forward to. Anyway, but I'll have a kid by then. I know I keep dragging this out, but I'll probably be awake at that time in the morning anyway. So we'll
talk. Have to take a shift that week, that morning. Let Sammy sleep, and you'll just rock the baby. Put the game on 2% volume, or put it in your ears, and be a little West Ham dad.
Yes, for sure. Anyways, peace out, guys. See ya.
All right.